Hey, everybody, it's Kai. Thanks for listening to our Corner Office podcast. Thought we'd dig back into the archives for you this time. Not too far, though. At the beginning of the year, we talked to the CEO of Illumination Entertainment. Chris Meledandri is his name, who you might know best because of these guys.
Ba, 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 na, na. Ba, 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 na, 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 oh. Na.
I love those guys, especially the one that says banana. Anyway, a little while after we talked to Chris, Illumination's parent company, NBC Universal, made a deal to buy DreamWorks Animation. Meledandri is set to have creative oversight over that company as well. But in the conversation I had with him, we talked about $100 million failures and even bigger successes and making movies that kids and parents both want to see. So let's get to it. My full interview with Chris Meledandri. It is this week's episode of Corner Office.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Chris Meledandri, good to have you with us.
Very nice to be here.
I'm going to start with a metaphysical question, I think. What is it about animation that does it for you?
Well, what drew me to animation was the collaborative experience. I think more than any other medium, it's the most collaborative medium that I've ever been part of or actually ever seen. And that is the inspiration, that's the source of the inspiration that drives me, now what's going on almost 20 years of being in this field.
You gave a talk in Paris a number of months, certainly less than a year ago, in which you said, you know, animation drives empathy. You said, and empathy is the key to so much in this life.
Well, I think that our films are really built around character more than anything else. And it's that relationship that the audience forms with the character that defines their opinion and the level of meaning that the film has for them. And I think when you start to look at what it is that bonds an audience with a character, empathy plays a tremendous role. And it's hard in life today to find opportunities to be empathetic, especially when there's so many pressures that we're all subjected to that that try to force us to almost isolate ourselves. And I think there's kind of a cultural sort of narcissism that's at work, and film in general, but I think animation for me, even more so, really allows us to break down those barriers and really relate to other characters. And most of that relationship is really coming through empathy.
I'll confess here that I'm a big Minions fan. I'm a big Despicable Me fan. You make these movies, you and your team, expressly with the intent of getting the parents involved as well, right?
Absolutely. You know, we don't really think about any specific audience when we make the films. The directors and my fellow producers and the writers, we are really thinking about our own opinions, and for us, a movie is successful if it's speaking to audiences across any kind of age barrier or for that matter, even cultural barriers.
Yeah.
But yes, we're definitely thinking about a broad audience as opposed to an audience of children.
You are the CEO of Illumination. You are a co-founder of Illumination. What is your role then in the creative process and wrangling a whole herd full of creative people who are notoriously tough to manage?
Well, as you know, as the I'm the sole founder, but I produce in conjunction with others, most notably Janet Healy. My responsibility, it's kind of an old fashioned view of producing, which is it starts at with the inception of the idea, and it runs through the entire making of the film, which, you know, involves the writing of the film, the assembly of all the various participants, and it takes us all the way through to the marketing, the release of the film, and the afterlife of the movie. So it's all inclusive.
Are you in the mix the whole time? You're at the table at the pitch meeting, and you're there at the final cut meeting?
Correct. Yes, and it's the way I learned how to make films, the creative space of making a film is where I get most excited. Huh. But our films are, as much as I'm present, the magic in the films, I don't believe comes from me. I believe that comes from our directors and our artists, and I'm the enabler.
Yeah, but we should say, you know whereof you speak. I mean, you've been around for a while. You were involved in and did Ice Age and Robots and all of those. I mean, it's not like Despicable Me was your first hit.
No, it's a great sort of Hollywood sort of moment, which was going from one of the industry's biggest financial failures to my subsequent film being Ice Age, becoming one of the most profitable films in 20th Century Fox's history. So,
well, tell that story. You lost $100 million worth of Rupert Murdoch's money, for crying out loud.
Yes. I mean, it was the second animated film that I was involved with, called Titan AE. And it was one of those films that, you know, like most films, start out with great intentions and high ambition, but it never quite came together the way that we had hoped. We sensed it as we were making it, but it then came out and absolutely crashed. And News Corporation wrote down $100 million on the back of that failure.
What's that like?
It is exceedingly lonely.
Yeah.
The best part about it is that for me, I had lived with the perception that a massive failure would actually kill me. And I realized that I was still breathing in the aftermath. And there was actually something, you know, strangely inspiring about that. However, it was exceedingly lonely, and especially so because I had a visionary boss at the time, or my boss's boss, Peter Chernin at 20th Century Fox, who, when he had removed the person above me, was determined that I would complete my next film, which, you know, we were just starting, which was Ice Age.
Huh.
So initially, you know, you're off on your own, you know, surrounded by, you know, really great colleagues, but colleagues who associate animation with failure. I think that I probably, as a result of that, had more autonomy through the production of that film than I normally would have had. But I really had to sort of earn my way back in. And yeah. Once the film did start to assert itself and come together, then everybody, you know, really, you know, started to jump on board and really help. And we obviously had that big success.
All of that then in your past and the success you've had now at Illumination, talk to me for a second about your risk tolerance.
Well, my risk tolerance, the embodiment of risk tolerance for me really came when I started Illumination, because I was at Fox at that point going on 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we had had all of those films after Titan, you know, the Ice Age films, Horton Hears a Who, as you robots, we supervised the Simpsons movie. And so things were going really well. We were just putting into production the first film that was really driven more by passion, which was Wes Anderson's Fantastic Mr. Fox. It was a it was a great, vibrant time, and I was faced with the opportunity of leaving Fox and starting my own company, because I was an, even though I was executive producing the films at Fox, I was a an executive, and I was faced with the opportunity to start my own company in partnership with Universal. The decision to do that scared me beyond anything that I had ever known, because it meant that I was leaving the security of what now had become sustained success.
Right.
And I was going to build something from scratch, albeit with a lot of financial support, but with absolutely nothing but a blank sheet of paper. And it terrified me. And the decision ultimately to do it really came from a realization of how frightened I was to leave this nest. And I realized that if something, you know, was scaring me to this degree, and really what we're talking about is risk tolerance, that no matter what happened, once I leapt, there was going to be a an undeniable benefit from having faced down that fear. And that's what I did. I happened to, you know, get very fortunate that a lot of the pieces fell into place, and our first film was Despicable Me. And when I say,
that'll do it.
It, you know, I believe that embracing risk is an essential part of trying to reach one's creative, artistic potential. And now it is not something that I would tell you is easy for me, but it is something that that we constantly talk about and think about, because becoming successful as a, you know, as a new company can seduce you into being safe and trying to repeat what you've done so that that the success, you know, can continue.
You run this company, you have said quite lean, that you want the ratio of developed projects to produced projects to be quite low. How do you keep that going? How do you keep everybody firing when you're trying to do that?
Well, it allows you to operate with the assumption that everything that you're working on is actually a movie, and it takes you out of what is a development process that for many years became almost its own industry within the industry, but wasn't necessarily that connected with making films. There was kind of development, and then there was filmmaking, and lots of things that were being developed, most things, never saw the light of day. So I actually find that the low ratio, we've been operating at about, for every almost, I'd say, 1.5 films that we develop, we make one. When you're in that realm, from the moment you start working on an idea, there's a sense that you're working in the early stages of making a movie.
You have a favorite?
A favorite film?
Yeah.
You know,
And don't give me the, you know, they're all like they're my kids line. Don't do that.
You know, I think that the two movies that that are, I'd say, have had the greatest impact on me are Ice Age and Despicable Me. And I think that the first Ice Age and the first Despicable Me.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, those films both being such sort of pivotal films in you know, my career or in trying to, because they both came at, you know, early stages of trying to build something new. And they're the films that, you know, probably, you know, have introduced to me as well as audiences to characters that, you know, that, that I still, you know, that I feel extremely bonded with.
Chris Meledandri is the CEO of Illumination Entertainment. Chris, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Illumination's got a new film out this summertime, too. By the way, in case you haven't seen the ads for it, The Secret Life of Pets. No word on whether or not there will be minions. I, for one, hope so. Anyway, I'm Kai. This is the Marketplace Corner Office Podcast. We'll have another episode for you in about 2 weeks. Thanks a lot.